Okay, so this afternoon I'm going to be talking about the evolution and comparison of a phosphorus loss risk assessment tool, and I just want to note that I'm from University of Maryland. So quick background, I think everyone probably knows this, you know, decreased water quality, eutrophication, results from an over-enrichment of surface water with nitrogen and phosphorus. And a lot of these nutrients can come from, or can originate from agricultural operations. So producers can use the P-index, which is an equation that estimates the relative risk of phosphorus loss from agricultural fields. It's a fairly simple tool. It uses user-friendly input variables, specifically because it's designed, you know, for producers and nutrient management planners to use. And it functions based on a simple principle that phosphorus loss is present where there's both a source of phosphorus as well as a transport pathway. And this is really important. This tool is important for producers because it really helps them decide where and how to use management practices on their operation. So we've got sources and transport of phosphorus. So sources include the actual soil itself, fertilizer, inorganic fertilizer, as well as manure that is spread or manure that is deposited by grazing animals. And we've got three different transport pathways. So there's erosion of the actual soil particles that contain phosphorus. There's runoff or movement of dissolved phosphorus across the landscape. And then there's vertical and horizontal subsurface leaching or movement of that dissolved phosphorus. And the idea of the P-index is that it takes all of these sources and transport factors into account. So a little background about Maryland. Starting in about 2002, we adopted the Phosphorus Site Index, or the PSI, as our P-loss risk assessment tool. And the PSI has a general multiplicative equation structure, which means that all of the phosphorus sources are summed together and then multiplied by all of the different transport pathways, and then there's a final numerical risk score. And that numerical risk score is then placed into an interpretive category, which outlines how the producer should best manage that field based on the relative risk of that P-loss. And it's really important to note that, you know, the original PSI in Maryland was really largely based on best professional judgment. That's how the different weighting factors and the different components, the different variables were assigned based on best professional judgment. So starting about 2012, we decided to start making the transition from the PSI over to the PMT, or the Phosphorus Management Tool. And the major change between the PSI and PMT was the change in the equation structure. So we went from that multiplicative equation structure to a component structure, whereby each of the individual phosphorus sources was multiplied by the specific transport pathway that acts upon that source. And then the three different source transport components were added to each other to end up with the final numerical PMT score. And again, that numerical score was also placed into similar interpretive categories. So the PMT represents more about the processes of phosphorus loss, and it's definitely a little more complex. But some of the aspects of the PMT were still based on best professional judgment. So in 2015, we thought, you know, we really need to move away from this best professional judgment calibration and really start doing some kind of an evaluation with some external data. So as was discussed this morning in some of the sessions, really the ideal way to do this is to calibrate your PMT or your P-index to measured P-loss data, so measured data in the field. This can be time-consuming. This can be expensive. So the second best scenario is to calibrate your index or your model to modeled P-loss data, so using a P-loss model to kind of simulate that edge-of-field P-loss. So we chose to use the APL, or the Annual Phosphorus Loss Estimator model, as our model of choice to evaluate our PMT. And the APL model simulates edge-of-field phosphorus loss through surface pathways. So basically what we did was we calculated P-loss using the APL model from both a simulated and a measured data set. And then we made modifications to our PMT equation, including specific weighting coefficients for each of those different source transport components. And we also included some new management factors. We tweaked our management factors, and we added some new input variables. So this Apple modified PMT, became what we're calling now the PMT2, Phosphorus Management Tool 2. So the objectives of our study was initially just to compare the three different versions we have, the PSI, the PMT, and the PMT2. We wanted to roughly assess the sensitivity of the PMT2 final score to the input variables, specifically the new input variables. And we also wanted to determine the impact of the different management changes on that PMT2 final score. So we can really bring this information to the producers. What happens when you change the management on your field? How does that affect your final score? So we did this comparison using a measured data set. We soil sampled and we visited 382 fields within the state of Maryland. We went to every county within the state. And we calculated the PSI, PMT, and PMT2 for all of those fields. So as I mentioned, the numerical final score is put into an interpretive category. So we see on the left PSI, in the middle PMT, and on the right PMT2, and this is the number of fields in each of those categories. So what I want to point out is that there was a change in interpretive categories from the PSI over to the PMT and PMT2. So the very high category was eliminated after the PSI, and we are just left with low, medium, high. So it's not that zero field scored very high for the PMT and PMT2. It's that that category does not exist, and it got lumped in basically with the high category. So in general, we see that the PSI and the PMT2 look pretty similar as far as the distribution of fields within those categories, but the PMT, you know, most of the fields were in that high-risk category with the PMT calculation. And this can be further seen when we actually compare the numerical final score for the PMT, which is along the x-axis, and the PMT2 along the y-axis. In general, most of the fields had a higher numerical score with the PMT than they did with the PMT2. And we kind of looked at this with both the fields where surface PLOS dominates as well as fields where subsurface PLOS dominates, but the trend was similar for both of those types of fields. So as we were looking at the management scenario and input variables, what we did was we modified each of those management variables independently to represent a realistic management change, so something that a producer could actually do on their field. We also modified the new input variable, in this case, which was annual runoff, numerical annual runoff, and we modified it to represent a realistic numerical deviation. How off with that number could we be in order to see a change within that final score? And then what we did was we recalculated the PMT2 final score with that modified variable and then compared it back to the original PMT2 final score for every single field. So in general, we saw no changes in final score when we modified the annual runoff input variable when we increased it by 20%. So this lets us know that any states that are considering modifying their P indexes may want to consider the use of numerical annual runoff instead of some other kind of categorical value, because you can be up to 20% off with your estimation and it really doesn't have a major effect on your final score. So this doesn't need to be measured at the edge of field. It can be estimated by any number of ways. As far as the management scenarios, we also saw no change in final score when we decreased our sediment loss by up to 20%. When we applied our P amendment at half the original rate or no P amendment was applied, as well as when we minimized the scores for a number of the management variables, including timing, application method, and soil management on high P fields. So when we applied the best management on some of these fields, it did not change the final score. We did have some scenarios where the final score was changed. When we modified the crop rotation variable within the Russell calculation, so Russell is the measure of erosion, of sediment loss through erosion. When you modify one of the variables within that equation by about 50%, you can see an appreciable decrease in final score for those fields where surface P loss dominates. And this may sound like a lot, reducing a number by 50%, but a simple rotation change could really change this variable by an appreciable amount within the Russell calculation. We also increased soil P by about 50%. We wanted to see what would happen over time, continued P application to fields that may already have high soil test P. So as soil test P continues to increase, we noticed that all fields, regardless of the dominant transport pathway, surface or subsurface, saw an appreciable increase in PMT2 final score as soil P increased. So the final score calculation is really sensitive to this soil P input variable. Finally, when we actually minimized the score for our subsurface management, we saw that this really was the only factor that lowered that subsurface component within the PMT2. So fields where subsurface is dominating, changing their management up a bit will really help decrease the score for this PMT2 equation. So in general, the general conclusions, the PMT tended to rank the majority of fields as high risk, while the PMT2 and the PSI looked more similar with a more even distribution of fields within those interpretive categories. Implementing good management changes, even decreasing your phosphorus application, really did not have a major effect on the PMT2 final score, other than modifying your crop rotations and utilizing some good subsurface management practices. Those were really the only factors that would actually change your PMT2 final score. We also saw that the PMT2 is not very sensitive to annual runoff, so this variable really should be used in more P indices across the country. It's not necessary to measure this variable in field. It can be estimated either by region or by county. It doesn't even need to be estimated for each individual field, and it actually probably will do better than using some kind of categorical value to represent that. One thing I want to point out is that it's really important to note that the PMT2 and other P indices of this nature really give you a snapshot of your risk in your one-year rotation for what you're doing in that year. So your final score may allow you to still continue to apply a phosphorus source, an amendment, manure, fertilizer. But it's really important to consider the long-term implications of this continued P application over a long period of time. At some point, you're going to continue elevating your soil P levels. And we've seen that the PMT2 is fairly sensitive to increases in soil P. And, you know, we've heard a lot of talks today even that have discussed when you get in these high soil P concentrations, it takes a very long time to bring down those P levels. And there's really not any quick fixes to bringing down those soil phosphorus levels. So it's really important to keep that in mind, that even though you're allowed to apply manure in 1 year, the next year, last year, you really should consider the long-term implications of that continued manure application. And these data are really important for Maryland producers. They're going through this transition of going from the PSI to the PMT to the PMT2, and it's really important for them to understand not only how the risk of phosphorus loss is being calculated, but how they can maximize the efficiency and the productivity of the management practices that they implement on their operations. So we've got like a minute. I probably can take one or two questions if they're quick. Yeah.
The word rotation in this context seems a little vague to me. Okay.
So I'm not an expert on Russell or Russell 2, but from what I've looked at, if you were doing something like a continuous corn rotation and then you transitioned to like a corn soybean rotation, you could very easily lower that score within Russell. Did that clarify a little bit better? Okay. Is there another one more quick question? If not? Okay, thank you very much.